Coyotes in Boxes, an indie rock band formed in Huntington, West Virginia, but currently residing in Nashville, Tennessee, released a new 6-song EP called Yowler this past August. I talked with Kyle Bowman and Steve Holland from the band about their new release and how much the Mountain State plays a role in their music.
And the sun, and the sun, and the sun does shine up here.
So, tell me about how the band started.
Well, probably all started back freshman year. We went to Marshall University, Steve and I did, and we played in a whole bunch of bands, and we went all over the place from kind of doing a garage rock thing to really experimental, just trying to make any sort of song work. And I guess Steve could probably tell you about what actually led to Coyotes in Boxes with our current lineup.
Yeah, a lot like Kyle said, we started off just kind of playing in like a couple different bands with different variations of players in it. So that's how me and Kyle kind of met and our history together. I think it was like my first year out of college that I met I was friends with Sean Nicely, our guitar player, and I think we were at church or something, and he was talking about how he wants to play full-time in a band, and I already knew one of his bands from before. I was a big fan of him, so it was kind of like asking someone that I had like a music crush on to be in my band. So I was like, oh man, this would be awesome to be in a band with you and just to be cool. So I was just like, hey, I got a drummer hookup, so we can start off things, start writing songs. I'll show you a couple of my songs, and you can play some of your songs. So, but it was really cool. It kind of gelled together, and our keyboardist kind of like tagged along for it. He was kind of like hearing the conversation, like, hey, I'd like to play. And there was already other keyboardists in the room, so.
Two keyboards.
Yeah, so, and he was already saying, yeah, I would love to play too, and so we kind of had two keyboards, but when it got to the actual first practice, kind of like Chris, our keyboardist, our legit one that kind of lit off and started playing a lot. And then the other guy kind of was just kind of watching it and thinking, this is really cool. You guys are doing a really good job. You don't really need me sort of thing.
Yeah, that he was doing med school, so he was kind of busy as it was.
Yeah, so it really lucked out.
So you all are from Huntington area, or were you from out of state when you came together for Marshall?
Let's see. Chris is from Ripley. Sean Nicely was born up near Pittsburgh, but spent his entire life in Huntington, West Virginia. Steve is up in Martinsburg, where he was born, in the Eastern Panhandle. I was actually raised in Cincinnati. All my family is from a little place in West Virginia called Gully Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Not many people know it. Not very big. So we all have pretty firm roots in West Virginia. I guess I was just a city boy that decided to come home.
Well, with you guys, with being kind of, I don't know, like a, I guess a miscellaneous crew of West Virginians and natives and all that, did you all get any inspiration from West Virginia or the Huntington music scene when you were creating this group?
Absolutely. When we first started, Steve's a very adept songwriter, and so he already had a decent portfolio of songs when we started playing together. And so by the time Sean and Chris joined on, and that's really our first record, is those songs that we've been working on for a while, that the presence of Sean and Chris really kind of helped form into what is now Coyotes in Boxes. But being in Huntington, West Virginia, apart from like the mountains, there's a lot of, animal imagery, a lot of sort of folksy organic sounds that we really took as inspiration being in West Virginia. But as far as, really developing our sound, we have to credit so many amazing people and bands that we met in Huntington. Guys like Sly Roosevelt, AC30, Ian and Don Duncan, my goodness, Deadbeats and Barkers. Tyler Childers. There's such a laundry list of people who, the guys that are now in Ona, my God, they came to the first time we played an open mic night at the V Club. And back then we were trying some new things, and I played my set standing up with floor toms and a crash cymbal. And they were the ones that actually pulled us aside and said, like, man, you got to do this. This is unique. You need to utilize that sound. And so ever since then, you know, a lot of, I know on my side, drum work is really tom driven, really like throaty and kind of having like a 70s vibe. And so that's like, so much indebtedness is because we were around such a great music scene in Huntington, West Virginia, that continues to grow. My Lord, I don't know if you ever visit Huntington, West Virginia to hear the music there, but it is innovative and it is eclectic, to say the least. It's incredible.
So even though you're in Nashville right now, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you still keeping in touch with the people in Huntington and the artists there?
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Now, are you or have you ever collaborated with those groups and done some sort of like super mega band?
As tempting as that would be, I just think everyone is that much better than how I play drums. And so to imagine sitting in is daunting, but it would be so exciting. I mean, shoot, bands like Quiet, who have, you know, such a large following and, you know, have had, you know, anywhere from a dozen members on the stage at any given time. Yeah, there's always a little bit of fantasy to that, just because I love the music and that scene so much.
I guess it's a shame, too, if you're saying we have such a great Huntington art scene. Do you think that it's obviously, I guess, growing over the years, but do you think that it suffers a bit from lack of promotion or lack of interest from outside cities and areas?
I don't think there's a lot of, like, media sources necessarily reporting about it, but at the same time, it's a lot of it's just kind of, like, word of mouth or shows going out. I know Quiet kind of played around and then Charleston, and then I think they actually moved to Charleston.
Oh, did they?
I think so. Oh, at one point.
They spent a lot of time down there. Yeah. They do a lot down there.
But, yeah, there's, like, a lot of it's helmed by kind of, like, I think Bud Carroll and, like, yeah, there's, like, Ian.
Yeah, Ian. Yeah, there's a lot of people doing things right. I know... We like to bring attention whenever we play down here in Nashville or if we're on the road somewhere. We're very proud that we come from Huntington, and we love going back. And so we've been able to bring a couple artists down here to Nashville to play just because, like, I don't know if people realize the depth of talent that happens there. But, yeah, like kind of what you said and what Steve touched on, there's just kind of an apathy with local media. Unfortunately, there's a great organic scene. I mean, you'll have, you know, 100, 150 people come out to a show at the V Club, and you walk in there and say, wow, where was the promotion? And you realize it's all done through Facebook. It's word of mouth. It's people caring about the scene.
Was there a motivating factor for you all to leave Huntington and go to Nashville to pursue more music?
I think one of the unfortunate realities is recognizing that maybe it's not so much unfortunate because we still know ourselves to be a West Virginia band. is that, you know, we had friends who had moved down here to Nashville, one which spent a lot of time in the Huntington music scene, a guy named Drew Blake. And, you know, just in conversations with him and, you know, while we were on the road playing different cities, you know, whether it was like Louisville or Austin, like the places that we would go, we would consider like, you know, is this where we want to be? Because we knew we needed the connections to make the sound that we wanted. And so it was kind of with a heavy heart that we had a decision as a band to move down to Nashville. Not that, you know, people get the wrong idea that you come to Nashville to try and make it big in Nashville, but when we made the decision to come down here, it was really for the connections. And through that, we've been able to, I mean, my goodness, we've made some fantastic connections with, you know, our sound engineer, Evan Redwine, or Pollock Burke Studios, Beyond Lad, Palaver Records, so many people who we've been able to connect with down here that have encouraged our music and have been able to spread the word about what we do has been fantastic. But, you know, deep down, we're a West Virginia band, and we love Huntington. We love coming back.
Has there been a cultural difference with you all going over to Nashville? Like, what are you seeing or experiencing that's so different from what you saw in Huntington?
There's a lot more saturation here of music. Yep. Everyone here is, like, a musician. I feel like even more so than, like, kind of like a California thing where everyone's kind of doing something. But it's, like, here, it's, like, everyone kind of, like, dabbles in music. So, and that could mean almost anything. So it's kind of like you can have one, like, a lot of people that are in your audience are going to be, like, musicians, which is actually a really cool way of getting feedback and again, like, networking really well. At the same time, it's kind of difficult sometimes to have that the same special, to find the specialness about music there here, where it's like, oh, we're playing a show here or there, where it's like, I mean, because there's so much music all around, it's kind of like you kind of have to like set yourself apart a little bit or find some way to make yourself. Yeah.
Music kind of becomes academic down here, and what I mean by that is, you know, in academia you have. Everyone's a professional in a sense. And even if you really enjoy somebody's work, it's hard to invest in that person's work because you want your work invested in. And so you could be sitting with a personal banker and know for a fact they're a better guitarist than you. And so everyone has that ability. And the people that come to the shows, even if it's encouraging, it's like they can enjoy what you do, but almost at the academic level instead of, you know, in other places where we've been, like Athens or, you know, back in Huntington, where the people enjoy your music because they enjoy your music and there's no shame in that. There's encouragement. You want bands to do well. You want them to make it big. You want the people you enjoy to make it in this industry. Whereas Nashville, you know, there's just kind of, I don't know,
that's competitive.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like in Huntington, I mean, I guess in West Virginia, there's not as many musicians going out to see musicians in that way compared to the amount in Nashville. And so it's more of a fan experience, just people liking music. And then in Nashville, I guess there's maybe a hint of tension in the air, like people are maybe a bit jealous or people are trying to not bring you down, but at least like kind of critique you and give you positive feedback and maybe thinking themselves, oh, well, you know, at least my music has this over these guys.
Yeah. Like, that's a really good note because, you know, back in West Virginia, it seemed like everybody was out to make the next band big. Like, whether it was, you know, Sly Roosevelt bringing us on to play shows back when we had no idea what we were doing, or, you know, us, like, now when we go back to West Virginia, it's fun to bring in the bands that we became fans of, you know, through listening online and asking them to play a show with us so that they get exposure. That's exciting now. We want to see West Virginia bands get big, even if we don't. Whereas, like, down here, you know, there's a lot of, oh, I can play that fill better, or, oh, you're playing that lick? Yawn. Like, that's so 80s. Like, so, yeah, there's probably more critiquing eye.
I see nothing wrong with the 80s. That was a great time.
Maybe not
for fashion, but for music, I think it was a very good time.
I love great pop music, and the 80s are just the pinnacle of that. And are you a hair rocker? That's okay too.
I wouldn't say I'm a hair. I have hair. I have really big hair, but I'm not a hair rocker. I'd say I'm more of like the Phil Collins Genesis kind of.
Oh, please,
you know.
Tell me about Genesis. Please, yes. Oh my Lord. See, Phil, I have a heart for Phil Collins because, you know, he's a drummer through and through. But man, that guy can write a freaking song.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's that kind of lyricism and like that songwriting ability that's just, it's so, it's like heartfelt, but it had like a crushing feeling to it. And it was so good. Oh. And you just don't, the Taylor Swifts of the world, bless their hearts, they just can't embody that kind of, that musical capability. There's the beauty about the 80s was that it was just amazing and so many things to it. And nowadays it's just very, very mainstream and very, I would almost say insincere.
Well, it's like the jingle culture where every commercial has like the jingle, and it's not so much about what's being said in the jingle. It's so long as the jingle sticks in your head, you associate it with a picture. And so in music, like you'll hear like the same four chords, or you'll hear the same things coming out because it's the jingle idea. You hear a jingle, it gets caught in your head and you're associating it with an image, and you end up selling a lot of stuff. And so there's a lot of that in Nashville, as you'd imagine. Tay-Tay, Taylor Swift, is just on the other side of town, so she's doing her thing. But good on her. She's living her life.
So let's talk about the record itself and the inspiration for it. Did you? I know you talked about you know, being inspired by local artists when you were coming together. Did you take any inspiration from any outside groups or maybe bands that were not West Virginian?
I definitely listen to a lot of different music, and I think things subconsciously make it into my compositions. But a lot of the songs, especially off this new album or kind of our new EP, are very much based around the lyrics, and the elements kind of serve the lyrics of the song or the idea of the song. I mean, I know in the last album there was like a lot of folk stuff because I was listening to Fleet Foxes and Grizzly Bears. So there was a lot of kind of more rhythms. But I think our drummer, he likes good rhythms, and so a lot of our songs have a good rhythm base to it. So I think it's just kind of like the song is what it needs to be, sort of thing.
Yeah. Instead, you know, the last album was a lot of the material that Steve and I had developed over the years. And then, you know, bring in the new blood of Sean and Chris. This EP is kind of like turning the direction towards representing the band more clearly because each of us listens to different types of music. I mean, our keyboardist listens to anything, you know, can listen to classical as quickly as he can listen to Kanye. Yeah. I like listening to a lot of, I'm a hip hop junkie too. I like rock music. I like indie stuff. I like a lot of folk stuff. I know Steve likes the Beatles and I know he has a Jay-Z album.
Yeah.
I know he has a Jay-Z album. And then, you know, Sean, our guitarist, listens to a lot of singer songwriter stuff. He has his own solo stuff that kind of reflects a lot of his influence. But when it all comes together, you know, it all comes together really smoothly. And so instead of saying like, you know, there's going to be moments where people say, oh, you know, that kind of sounds a little bit like Manchester Orchestra, or that sounds a little bit like Weezer, or that sounds like Band of Horses, and that's fine. But I think after you listen to a track, it's hard for you to say precisely like, oh, that song sounds like this, because each song is incredibly unique, which is kind of refreshing for my palate. As vain as it is, I really like listening to this EP.
So your name is Coyotes and Boxes. The last record was Ann Curtis and Fox, and I saw that you guys have made band shirts that featured deer silhouettes.
Yeah.
So it seems kind of like an obvious thing that you guys enjoy wildlife imagery or just, you know, wildlife. Can you talk about that or why you chose Coyotes and Boxes as your band name?
And honestly, we're kind of whimsical guys a little bit. We enjoy like good stories, fables. I don't know, just a lot of different. I mean, a lot of like even like authors that like use elements like that. But the band name itself actually was a band name my brother came up with back when I was actually moving to college, and he told me as soon as we had moved that and emailed me and said that he had made a new band called Cabbies and Boxes. That was playing at these different places around my hometown and naming all the different songs he had and kind of like listing all the different members of it that were like my brother, I guess my younger brother and like our next door neighbor. And I was really excited for him. I was like, oh, this sounds really cool. And he was just like talking it up. And then like one day I talked to my younger brother, Thomas. I was asking him how the new band Cabbies and Boxes is doing. And he's like, oh, they're, he's like, what are you talking about? There's no band called Cabbies and Boxes. Like, so my brother was completely just making it all up. But I don't know, it kind of stuck with me, this like fictional band, that it had like this wild name, like with like no explanation what it's about. And I think that's what I decided to go with for this one, for our current arrangement of guys, just because I don't know. It kind of, like, I think it defines our music a little bit, just kind of like, I mean, not really knowing where things are going with it. Just, I don't know, it is what it is, sort of thing.
So with the animal imagery, then you guys just keep going along with it and kind of doing wild kinds of titles and attire for the band because you just like it.
Well, yeah. The animal imagery I personally enjoy. If there's anything, any influence I ever get over like a song or any of the lyrics, it usually is going to revolve around creatures and telling a story of creatures and people, because I really like the tension between like civil and animal, like what makes civilization different from animals and animals different from civilization. And not to even get like really deep and philosophical about that, I just enjoy that how we divide our lives is like living inside versus outside, you know, having refrigerators versus hunting. Like, I really like that, not even to get like super spiritual or weird about it. It's just a story trope that I really like to use. I like fairy tales a lot. Like the work of George MacDonald from the 1800s is a lot of animals that are like people, like animals doing people things and people doing animal things. And I just really enjoy that because you can present so much more in terms of story and so much more in terms of like arc when you kind of tear those barriers down, where a squirrel can talk like a person because they have something to say, or a person can, you know, go outside and climb a tree because the person can do that. Like, I enjoy that because the expectation then kind of tears down like a fourth wall that we want to observe something that makes sense. And then kind of like the band name, the Coyotes and Boxes, where it doesn't necessarily make sense, but that's the point. Like, it's okay that doesn't make sense because it's telling a story that hasn't been written yet. And that's what I like about the animal imagery. And I think that's why we've tended to gravitate towards that a good bit. But it's not everything. You know, the new album has elements of that, but, you know, also all kinds of stories happening in the new one.
What's one thing about the band or the music or anything coming up that you want to tell people that they may not know?
Oof. If I were to want someone to, if I were presenting Coyotes and Boxes and trying to explain why we do this, and it's storytelling. We love telling stories that people share. We like that's why a lot of things come off folksy or as parable, even, because we want people to share in these stories. If we were just writing these and singing these and playing these songs in the hopes to make a lot of money, we'd be missing the point of our own songs. So if anyone were interested in knowing what we do and why we do it, it's to share stories with the people that listen. And sometimes the stories are hard. Sometimes the stories are redemptive. But regardless, they all resonate with a part of us. And we want to resonate with the people that listen. And that's Coyotes and Boxers.
Coyotes and Boxes just released a new six-song EP, Yowler, this past August. The West Virginia band will be heading back to Huntington at the end of September for the Huntington Music and Arts Festival pre-show. You can hear more from Coyotes and Boxes on A Change of Tune, airing Saturday night at 10 on West Virginia Public Radio. I'm Joni Deutsch. Thanks for listening.